Thank you so much for being here today. As Micah said, my name is Katie Morris. If you don't know who I am, I'm the executive pastor. What in the world is an executive pastor, and what do I do? It's everything administrative, and then a lot of shepherding of team leaders and teams as well. A lot of what I do is behind the scenes, so you don't typically see me. Today, I have the opportunity to stand in front of you this morning because we're welcoming back Pastor John and Glenda from the country of Peru and the missions trip that they were on with an organization called Christian Hospitality Network. Christian Hospitality Network is an organization that once a year picks a place in the world. They invite tons of missionaries there for a week, and then they give them a week of rest and respite in all different forms. Pastor John goes as a counselor and spiritual director, and so we're happy to send him on those trips every year, and we hope that you guys got some rest as well this week. So welcome back. Glenda was a life coach. I did not know that. I mean, she is a life coach, but she served as a life coach. Thank you for doing that. Today, I want to share with you some things that I've been pondering and exploring for the last several months. I come to you today not as having everything figured out as a finished product, but rather in the process of growing and stretching and questioning. If life is a book with chapters, I'm opening to the middle of one of those chapters, and I'm just letting you see what's being written. So hopefully what's being written in me will be of benefit to you as well. Today I want to talk about one aspect of discipleship, which is more accurately translated as apprenticeship to Jesus. To make disciples is a mandate given by Jesus, and I believe it's important for this congregation and for this community to emphasize as we move forward. People define discipleship differently. Today, we're going to use Pastor John's definition of discipleship, which is enlarging our capacity to receive and give love after the pattern of Jesus. There are several aspects of this statement that I could focus on today. Enlarging our capacity. How do we do that? Receiving and giving love. Since we can't give out of what we do not have, first, we have to receive. After the pattern of Jesus, this begs the question, what is the pattern of Jesus? But since you did not sign up for the three-hour lecture, today we're just going to touch on each aspect of these, but we're going to focus on enlarging our capacity. What determines capacity? How much room do I have for something in my life, in my brain, in my heart? What are my limitations, and how do I make room for more, and how do I enlarge my capacity? Let's look at our main scripture for today. It's found in John 1, 29 through 39. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said that a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. He said, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen, and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following him, and he asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So the question Jesus asks is a great place to start. What do you want? I tend to think that desire determines how much capacity I have for something. If an opportunity presents itself, but I don't really want to do it, I'm probably going to push it off. Or not do it at all because there's not a desire to do it. Jesus says, "What do you want?" And they answer, "Where are you staying?" In this culture, asking a rabbi where he was staying expresses a desire to learn from him, to become his disciple. They wanted to be with him. They wanted to know where and how he lives. Jesus simply responds, "Come, and you'll see." The answer of Jesus was and is an invitation to the first of four stages of apprenticeship or discipleship. This is a stage where the disciple watches the master do what they do best. The apprentice observes. "Come and see," Jesus says. Come and spend the day with me. Come and follow. I'm going to go out. I'll heal the sick. I'll preach the gospel, teach the way, cast out demons, stand up against injustice, do all the things Jesus did, say all the things Jesus said. You just follow me around and watch. And all of these things that Jesus did was out of a place of receiving love from his Father and giving that love to others. Come and see. So what do I want? Do I want to be a disciple of Jesus? He invites. Come and see. To be a disciple, I need to enlarge my capacity to receive and to give. He invites. Come and see. Why do I want to enlarge my capacity? Well, maybe it's to be able to do what I'm called to do in a more peaceful and purposeful way after the pattern of Jesus. He extends the invitation. Come and see. Enlarging our capacity will likely require taking a long, hard look at what fills our time, what gets our attention, and evaluating if we're spending time on things that we're committed to or things that God has called us to, and then possibly pruning other things to make space for growth. John 15, verse 1 and 2, talks about pruning to be more fruitful. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. What are the branches of my life that are not bearing fruit? Where do I want to be intentional with the gift of time that's been given to me? It's probably not with social media comparisons as I sit in my real life and compare myself to everyone else's highlight reel. It's probably not doom scrolling, which would be so easy with everything going on in the world to get caught up with anxieties, doom, and gloom. It's probably not getting lost in reels or stories. How many of us have gotten caught up scrolling through videos and just lost track of time completely? There's three of us, four of us. Okay, good. I'm not alone. These are things that are typically not flourishing or producing fruit. These are some examples of branches that God may want to cut off. What branches of your life does God want to make more fruitful? Things that give you joy and hope, peace, patience, producing all kinds of the fruit of the Spirit in you. Jesus invites, come and see. We're invited to look to Jesus for his patterns and his ways of living. Our actions or patterns, habits in life follow our desires. How common is it for us to say, I just don't have time? I've literally said, I just don't have capacity for that right now. The interesting thing is that we make time for things that are important to us, right? So we give time to our jobs, important, because they pay for everything. We give time to our families, also important. We give time to God, friends, hobbies, school, household tasks, small groups, community, the list goes on. What's important for us, we make time for. Enlarging my capacity for being a disciple of Jesus might mean I need to stop doing some things in my schedule that take time, and instead, give that time to finding a class on a new concept or a skill, reading a book, studying the way of Jesus, learning from someone, practicing. If it's something I want to do, then I will make time for it, enlarging our capacity. Enlarging our capacity to receive and give after the pattern of Jesus reaches all areas of our lives. Allow me to share a couple of examples. For me personally, what about enlarging my capacity in parenting? How do I enlarge my capacity to receive and give love after the pattern of Jesus when two of my children, who are now adults, are at college and I'm not as involved in their day-to-day life? When I find myself asking anxious questions like, did you remember this? Did you check with your advisor about that? Oh my gosh, did you even study for that test? And are you sleeping? Enlarge my capacity, Lord, to receive instruction of Scripture, advice of friends, and not to drive my kids crazy with my anxiety. Anxieties, by the way, can limit our capacity. If we look at Jesus, he was led straight from receiving the love of his Father's voice at his baptism into the wilderness, where he had 40 long days to increase his capacity, standing firm against the accuser's voice who was trying to lead him in a different direction. His capacity needed to be enlarged because if you fast forward, hanging on a cross at the end of his life was going to take a lot more capacity to give that love to us. He had to receive before he could give. Even in situations where Jesus could have been anxious, he chose to lean on his Father's plan and enlarge his capacity. So when I worry about my kids at college or my kid at home with her dense schedule of college, high school, work, play, I decide to enlarge my capacity by pausing anxieties. Stop, breathe, and remember the pattern of Jesus. Bring back to my mind Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Now, one night when my mind was racing more than usual, I turned on a guided prayer app that I've come to use often, and this scripture was read, but it started at the end of verse 5. The end of verse 5 says, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Those four words changed the scripture for me. Otherwise, it just feels like a command. Do not be anxious. Oh, all right. Well, since you said don't be anxious, I guess I just won't be anxious. Sometimes, like, that doesn't help always. So by putting those four words at the end of verse 5 onto the beginning of it, the Lord is near. Oh, that's why I don't have to be anxious. The Lord is near. The peace of God will guard my heart and my mind. So what about enlarging our capacity emotionally? How do I enlarge my capacity to receive and give love after the pattern of Jesus when my dad, who is one of the most loved men in my life, dies? When the price of love is grief, and I'm left with this grief that reaches its tentacles into every crevice of my life and can tempt me to close up so that I don't have to feel. When my grandma, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer alongside her dementia, was given just a few months to live. Stop, breathe, remember. The pattern of Jesus flips it. Matthew 5 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If I don't enlarge my capacity to sit with my grief, to embrace it and stare it in the face, then I won't feel the surpassing my expectations kind of comfort that the Holy Spirit can bring. If I stop at sadness, which oddly enough can sometimes feel comfortable, I will never know fullness. I won't be stuck in grief. I will have stopped in grief. My capacity will not be enlarged. Suffering forces us to dig deeper. It enlarges our capacity for compassion, empathy, and trust. Grief increases our capacity to feel, to remember. But this only works if we are courageous enough to sit with and entertain sorrow instead of stuffing it away, not to feel. To let the comfort of the Holy Spirit mold us and shape us. I walk my dog every day, and there's a place that I go by often, where for years, since my dad was sick, I would stop and look over the expanse of an open field and the big sky, and I would just imagine God looking back at me. I felt his presence when I was praying for my dad to be well, and I feel his presence now, even when I'm going through life circumstances that include missing my dad. By moving through my grief for that day, I receive the love of the Lord and enlarge my capacity for the next day. The more we receive the love of the Lord through difficult times, the more we can give that love to others who are also going through a difficult time. We receive so that we can give. The Lord wants to move us through paralyzing grief and into fullness. Enlarge my capacity, Lord. The next example can be a hard one for me. It's gotten better over the last year, but it can still be challenging. How can we enlarge our capacity if we don't make room in our schedules? How can I be intentional about discipleship if I don't make time? If I've convinced myself that I just can't find time to read, I just don't have time to read books. If I don't have time to pray, if I don't have time to serve, how can I be intentional if I keep saying that I'm too busy? There's just not room in my schedule for more. If we look at the pattern of Jesus, the way of Jesus is not hurried. It's not a full schedule. It has margin. It makes room for the unexpected. 2 Kings chapter 4 tells of the prophet Elisha going to a widow's house who had nothing in her home to pay her late husband's debts except for her sons and her last jar of oil. Elisha told her to go gather empty jars. Go to the neighbors, he told her. Gather as many as you can. And she took that last jar of oil, and she began pouring oil into all of the empty jars that she gathered. And the Spirit of God filled every single jar that she could gather. She sold the oil to pay the debts, and she spared her sons. When we make room for the Spirit. So get the jars. Make the space. Change the schedule. Make the room. God wants to do immeasurably more in our lives. But that will likely not come without challenge. For the last 14 years, I've been a group exercise instructor, and for many of those years, I was also a personal trainer. Part of my job in these roles is to discern when someone is at their breaking point or when they're just being challenged beyond where they have been and will actually benefit from a push beyond their comfort zone. When the assignment is to do bench presses to failures, one goal is to measure capacity. How many lifts can you do before you just can't do another one? More often than not, people are ready to give up way before their muscles are. Maybe they haven't ever tried to do that many reps before. Maybe they never have. Maybe they've never tried. But whatever the case, they've always thought they had this much capacity, when what they were actually capable of was much more. We are capable of doing way more than our minds think is possible. Many people in our congregation have run full marathons. I've only run a half. It was March of 2020, so like everything else that year, the Chicago run was canceled. So I decided to map it out and run it here in Ottawa. It turned out to be one of the most impactful experiences of my life for many reasons that I'll not go into today, but the training for it demanded that I increase my capacity for different things, including lung capacity, endurance, making room in my schedule for training, injury avoidance, and the training of my mind. Did you know that your body is capable of doing way more than your mind thinks is possible? That's a life lesson. If you're taking notes, and if you're not, just pretend like you are. Write it down. We are capable of doing way more than our minds think is possible. Even with all of our imagination, our minds can still limit us. All this talk about capacity, how do I know what my capacity actually is? It helps to know where we are if we want to take our next step. In the exercise example, how do I know when I'm maxed out? Simply put, under the proper guidance and direction, increase the weight you're lifting until you can no longer do one rep with proper form, and you've just found your capacity. So how do you go beyond that to build muscle? You have to challenge your capacity. To know what our capacity is, we have to challenge it. To know what we're capable of, we have to get beyond what we are comfortable with. Write that one down too. To know what we are capable of, we have to get beyond what we're comfortable with. I had a client a few years back that said she wanted to lose weight, but she didn't want to do a whole list of things, including push-ups. And for me, push-ups are gold. A whole body exercise with so many variations, nearly anyone can do a push-up. Well, in her mind, a push-up had to look a certain way. She was not comfortable doing that. She'd convinced herself that if she couldn't do that kind of push-up, then she would never be able to do it, and she didn't want to try. How did she know what she was capable of if she never got beyond what she was comfortable with? So I'd like to ask you today, what if we've convinced ourselves that we can't do something that really we won't do? Sometimes in our life, we want change, schedule, lifestyle, relationships, relationship with God. But increasing capacity kind of change doesn't come without challenge. And just like my client, what if you have something in you that you've convinced yourself is beyond you? It's too hard. It must not be for me. Author and spiritual director Emily P. Freeman writes, "We're meant to move in and out of stress, not to stay stuck in a room of perceived safety. We're meant to move to the healthy human rhythm of leaving rooms and finding new ones. This can cause stress, to be sure, but stress does not automatically mean we're not well. Enlarging capacity can be stressful. It's what I'm doing right now. I'm enlarging capacity to speak on a Sunday morning. Enlarging requires that we move out of what is comfortable and into a place of stretching, thus growth. If God's calling us to grow in our capacity for life, for love, for others, we can have faith that He will give us the grace to grow. This may be a silly example, but when I was pregnant with Isabella, on the night before she would be born, I sat on a bed in a room that had her crib. The 18-month-old twins were crawling all over me, and looking at the crib, I said to Paul, "How do we do this? how I have so much love for them. My heart is full. I don't know if I have capacity. How do I have room for more love for another child? And parents, you know, you don't know how to explain it. But for the grace of God, to increase your capacity, your second and third children have just as much of your hearts and your love as their first child, as your first children. So don't worry. I love you just as much. But for the grace of God, to enlarge our capacity to receive and give love. What if the full life that God has for us is beyond those comfortable boundaries that we've set up? Jabez, a man mentioned in the Old Testament as an honorable man, cried out to God saying, "Oh, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Asking to enlarge territory is asking to enlarge capacity. Enlarging territory would be to move the previously set boundary lines. So ask yourself, do I have boundaries in place that need to be moved? Now hear me say, some boundaries can be good and are necessary. It's important for us to self-define and have space when we need it. It's important to us to know the space that God has called us to occupy. It's important to respect boundaries. But it's also important to recognize that some boundaries and some limitations are defined by comfort. So if we're interested in enlarging our capacity, we have to ask ourselves two questions. First, is this a boundary that's defined by a place of comfort that I'm scared to leave? Or is this a boundary defined by movement toward Christ-likeness? In other words, is this boundary in place to keep me on a path toward Jesus? Or is this boundary line to keep me from tasks that I don't like, people who are not like me, places that are not immediately comfortable? To discover this answer will take prayer and discernment. Let me give you a couple examples. Some might say, I don't stay after church and talk to anyone or join a small group because I have a social anxiety that I've not yet worked through. That might be a healthy boundary for now until you're able to work through that anxiety. Or might it be that I don't stay after church and talk or join a small group because I'm afraid that if people really knew me, they wouldn't like me? That would be a time to ask ourselves, is this a boundary defined by a place of comfort that I'm scared to leave? Or is this a boundary that's moving me toward Christ-likeness? God wants to challenge us to do things, and through his grace that we never thought that we could do. Pick anything in your life where you say, I'm willing to do this much and no more. Maybe it's giving of time, talent, treasure. Maybe it's spending time with people who are not like you. Maybe it's a situation with a family member. Is this a boundary defined by a place of comfort that I'm scared to leave? Or is this a boundary that's defined by movement toward Christ-likeness? In 2 Corinthians, Paul is collecting donations from many churches to give to believers in Jerusalem who are struggling. In 2 Corinthians 8, 2, and 3, Paul tells of churches in Macedonia who were worried about their needs being met and yet, by the grace of God, stepped out of their places of comfort and gave. It says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. They wanted to be a part of helping others, so they started out by just giving what they could. They gave within their boundary lines, which is a beautiful gift. But they were so overjoyed by it that it resulted in giving what they didn't think that they could. Extreme poverty, mixed together with overflowing joy, welled up in rich generosity. Faith flipped that script. Faith took what they didn't have and turned it into what they had. They moved beyond the boundary line of their comfort, and the result was their capacity to take care of themselves and others. That capacity was enlarged. They put their faith in what God could do through them. Might it be time to declare to comfort zone limitations that they can't hold us any longer? Is God trying to enlarge our capacity to be generous? He is willing. What we receive, we can give. Time, talent, treasure. Lord, enlarge our capacity. There's so much that he would love to do. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God wants to do way more than we can imagine, more than our limitations, more than our current capacity. Remember when I said that we are doing capable of doing way more than our minds think is possible. That's not just for push-ups. Imagine what is possible when we partner with the Holy Spirit. Even Jabez recognized the need to partner with God. In his prayer found in 1 Chronicles, he asks for the Lord's hand to be with him. God not only created us to be able to do more physically, emotionally, and mentally than we think, but he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, because it's according to his power that is at work within us. It's not according to our own strength or what we're able to do. It's according to his power. And when we tap into that, immeasurably more. The scripture says he's able to do more than we can ask or imagine. Asking and imagining, these are both actions of our mind. So is our only limitation our thoughts? What we think we can or can't do? It's time to renew the mind with scripture. He says immeasurably more. That's beyond our comfort zones, friends. Beyond the limitations that we have lived in. There is more. With the Holy Spirit and his power at work within us, there is more. So we have to step out of our comfort zones, outside those boundary lines that we've set up, telling us that what we are and are not capable of. If you've ever told yourself that you've tried and you can't, maybe you feel stuck where you are. Could it be that you're not stuck where you are, but rather you've just stopped? Things got hard, as they do. We all feel it sometimes. We just can't push any harder. Our capacity cannot be enlarged today. We are done. But might I propose to you that we've only stopped in the middle of the enlarging process? That with the power of the Spirit helping you do more than you can imagine, you could begin again and enlarge your capacity? In Joshua 1:3, the Lord tells Joshua the same as he told Moses. He says, "I will give you every place where you set your foot." As Pastor John mentioned a couple weeks ago, in order for Joshua to enlarge his capacity, the physical land, territory of the people, he would have to set his foot in a different place. He would have to take a step. Perhaps we're not stuck. Perhaps we've stopped. It may be time to take a step and look around at all the people who are wanting to help you. We are walking this spiritual journey together, and God has given us to each other to know more about him, to find the freedom that he longs for us to have, to discover the purpose that he's designed us with, and together to make a difference in the world. We may not be stuck. We may have just stopped. So let's come around each other in small groups, in conversations over coffee, text messages, phone calls to each other. Bring encouragement, friendship, and hope to one another. God wants to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. There's a story in each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell of a group of men who had a friend who was lame. They brought him to a home where Jesus was teaching. Tons of people were there. They could have looked at the boundary of the crowd or the walls of the home that Jesus was in. The crowd was surrounding it. So many people would have said, "I'm sorry, friend, we'd get you close to Jesus if we could. We would if we could." Well, faith flipped it upside down, and with faith in what Jesus would do, the men said, "If we can, then he will." And they took a step outside of their boundaries, literally stepping onto a roof to cut a hole in it to get their friend before Jesus, the one that they knew who could heal him. The capacity for their faith was not only increased, but they helped all who were watching to increase their capacity of faith as well, not to mention their friend who is now able to do a whole lot more than he could before after Jesus healed him. Immeasurably more than he could have imagined. If I could do this big thing, I would. But sometimes we're not ready to take a step. We're unwilling to do what it takes to get there. How will we know our capacity if we insist on our comfort? God says immeasurably more. Maybe immeasurably more for you is not a grandiose thing or big dreams. It might be a seemingly normal thing that you see other people doing, but it would be big for you. Maybe you cannot comprehend reaching out to someone who's hurting. Maybe you can't comprehend joining a small group or tithing, joining the dream team or greeting on a Sunday morning or praying out loud. Maybe we don't need to believe in ourselves more and our ability to do it, but maybe we need to believe in God more and his ability to help us do it. With the Spirit, there is more. My client, by the way, decided she wasn't stuck, but had only stopped trying. She did the things I asked her to, the steps that it would take to do what she called a real push-up. She adopted the training versus trying mentality. She stopped trying to do a push-up and began to be consistent in her training. And in time, she did it. She took the steps to get out of her comfort zone, and she increased her capacity. So what do you want? To be a disciple of Jesus is to enlarge our capacity to receive and give love after the pattern of Jesus. Dallas Willard, theologian and philosopher, said, "The greatest issue facing the world today is whether or not those who identify as Christians will become disciples." That's a big deal. Let's read it again. The greatest issue facing the world today is whether or not those who identify as Christians will become disciples. Our attention has been turned to Jesus today. He turns and asks, "What do you want?" What is our response today? Will we follow his invitation to come and see? Making it more personal, what is your response today? Will you follow his invitation to come and see? Are you ready to enlarge your capacity to give and receive love after the pattern of Jesus? Are you ready to become a disciple or an apprentice of Jesus? Coming up this fall, there's going to be many small groups that are aimed at encouraging and helping one another to follow in that pattern. Begin asking the Lord now to prepare your heart to join one of those groups together to answer yes to Jesus' invitation. Would you please stand with me as we prepare to respond to Jesus? Maybe you're ready to take that first step. You've heard Jesus ask you today, "What do you want?" Today is a beautiful day to take the first step to say yes to Jesus, the one who can do immeasurably more. Maybe it's time to come back to Jesus. Maybe that's your first step. As we begin to sing, there's going to be a couple of people here ready to pray with you and lead you in responding to the invitation of Jesus. Coming down to the front may be a step out of your comfort zone. That might be challenging your capacity, but I promise your body can do way more than your mind thinks is possible. Have courage to pray here with someone or even someone next to you. Whether it's taking the first step to follow Jesus or you would like someone to pray for you with you for anything else, the invitation is to you. Come and see. I would like to end with Ephesians 3:17 through 21. This is my prayer for us today. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge." And notice, the wide, the long, the high, the deep, the space that his love fills surpasses our knowledge. We don't get it. We can't understand. We will never understand, which means we can never even fill that capacity. He wants to enlarge our capacity beyond. And there's plenty of room for our capacity to be enlarged. The writer of Ephesians prays that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
All that I have I give to you, and with my body I will honor you. Jesus, today I'm fully yours, and you are mine. All my heart belongs to Jesus, Jesus. All my soul belongs to Jesus, Jesus. All my mind belongs to Jesus, Jesus. All my strength belongs to Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, all that I have I give to you. Yeah, and with my body I will honor you. Today I'm fully yours, you are mine. have I given to you. And with my body